What is happening? Welcome to another Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock, and today is May 7th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Scoring a pat trick, that would be Chad Patrick with the Brewers last night, who gave trusting managers a 6.2 inning, 3 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeout performance. My gosh, Chad, where did this come from? It's not something that you should buy into in the slightest, because it's a cutter focus with sinkers that were able to go 12 for 24 called strikes in this, 50% clip, an 83% strike rate. I guess the Astros just sent in cutter and they let that sinker come back in. He throws this cutter at 87, 88 miles per hour, and against only right-handers, he had a field day, not really a field day, just as better than usual. Because honestly, that ERA, 6.2 innings, 300 runs, is not actually good for a 12-teamer. The whip is great, sub 1, 6 strikeouts, cool. You might be surprised to know that Chad Patrick has not allowed more than 3 runs in a single game this year. He's at 8 games so far, 7 starts, all of them have been 3 earned runs or fewer. That doesn't mean that it's been awesome. It's like a 2, I want to say almost like a 3 ERA right now, something along those lines, and then the whip is bad. Strikeouts should not be there consistently. It's not really something you want to be going for. I don't think that ERA is going to stick like this. Chris Sale, ace is going to ace? Maybe after one or two more, because this is 2 straight games of being amazing with a slider. Slider was a little bit worse, so it was higher up. This was also against the Reds, and the Reds on the road is just as bad as like Rocky Road right now. That was that 14 strikeout Max Meyer game, just so you guys are aware. But this was 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 10 strikeouts with 18 whiffs. A co-share of the Gallows Bowl, 4 guys had a co-share of the Gallows Bowl at 18 whiffs. Just couldn't get one more in 112 pitches, Chris Sale. And keep in mind, like, some guys get that 18 whiff mark at like 80 pitches or 90 pitches. He needed 112 to get that one here. So, we'll see. But at the very end of the day, Chris Sale having a much better slider, 44% CSW across 62 thrown is really good. And we like this version of Chris Sale. Andrew Abbott, by the way, 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. You just never know what Andrew Abbott's going to do on a given day. Talking to Eno last week on The Craft, we are, by the way, going to do it tomorrow because today on Wednesday, I am going to Yankee Stadium and I'm going to be hanging out with some Padres guys. So looking forward to that. It means I can't do The Craft today. That means not for the game. I'm going to be there for the game too, but also just in the press box and stuff is what I'm talking about. But when I was talking with Eno, we were thinking about guys that we just watch and we just don't believe. Like, how are you doing this? Andrew Heaney was like that during his hot streak. He's someone I'm just like, I don't really get it. I mean, I felt that way with Bowden Francis, as you guys know. And Andrew Abbott can be like that too. He did have a tick more velocity at around 93 as opposed to just under 92, which is nice. And that doesn't necessarily mean it should be a 49% CSW four-seamer. It's empty velocity otherwise. So I'm not really buying this a ton. And 87% strike rate is just what? The changeup was better. It was none of them were really floated up as much. It just feels weird. And I'm happy he did this. Congrats, Andrew Abbott, against Atlanta. I am curious if he's going to do well against the Astros, because the four-seamer does much better against the lefties, and it's not a lefty lineup at all in Houston, especially without Yordan Alvarez in there. Zach Gallen went Cannibal McSanchez in the last one, that is high cutters and four-seamers and then curveballs underneath. In this one, that cutter had a 9% CSW and 46% strikes, but he still had a massively successful game once again against the Mets, 7 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Why? Because the curveball was elite, and this was just insane how good it was. 23 thrown, 61% CSW. Oh my gosh. The four-seamer, meanwhile, had a 16% called strike rate, not like the 30% that we normally want to see from Gallen, like 27 to 30. And it got a lot of outs as the CSW for the curveball made them go after fastballs as much as they could. And he didn't really give them super easy ones to hit. So, yeah, I'm happy the curveball was great. It's just, can you really buy that he's going to have a 61% CSW on it? No. What's the sustainable approach? I don't know for Gallen, but we just kind of keep going, hoping he keeps making enough adjustments to get through the season. Matthew Liberatore had a phenomenal game against the Pirates. 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts. I was a little tepid this past week on the list, but I really shouldn't have been, as I was, I think, grading slightly too much that start in the rain. or the one that eventually had a rain delay, knocked him out after three innings, but he wasn't really pitching that well beforehand. And this was 95 on the fastball, so we're back up at that, not like 93 or so, 94. The secondaries were working well. Changeups and cutters attacked the zone. This is all really cool. 90% strikes, by the way, with a four-seamer, and a near 50% CSW. And you can blame it on the Pirates, even though Peel will still have him as a number. It's a tier two offense, which I don't quite get. But I think Liberatore is settling in as that Holly type. And I am holding on to this. I wish I was a little bit more aggressive ranking Liberatore in the past, because yeah, this makes sense. I wish the changeup was a little bit better, but right, it's a four-seamer that's doing well and it's not chaotic and the cutter is effective and it just kind of makes sense. So he gets the Phillies next. It might not be the prettiest start against the Phillies, but I think you want to hold on through that. Seth Lugo, 6.2 innings and one run. Everything is cool, right? Well, 10 base runners and three strikeouts and just three walks to go with it is really weird, but against the White Sox, come on, man. It'd be better than that. Sean Burke against the Royals, 6.1 innings and one run, four hits, three walks, and just two strikeouts. And we saw 93.6 on the four-seamer. I'm happy we got one run. That's cool. But the curve was kind of chaotic, and the slider was definitely more up than it should be. This is not good Sean Burke, so... yeah, I'm not going to rank him highly for this one. The Royals just did not punish him as much as they should have. Nathan Eovaldi was dope and makes us feel dope. Six innings, one run, five hits, one walk, and seven strikeouts. 18 whiffs, co-chair of the Gallows Bowl. 16 for 17 strikes on his cutter is great. And you have a splitter that was out of the zone and had a lower strike rate, but he got whiffs. And he can do that if the cutter is setting that up well. Also, of course, you have that four-seamer doing well. And you have the curve still doing well too. So everything is just great. And honestly, he's getting into that. Wait, is he just an ace? It is kind of close-ish, but I might be moving him up once again next week above the cherry bomb tier. He's just been so consistent. You have Ben Lively against the Nationals. You got a win. Congrats. 5.1 innings and one run. It's very boring. Four base runners and three Ks. And sure, you don't want to go after Lively. It's against the Nationals, whatever. Pablo Lopez, five innings, one run, two hits, one walk, and 11 strikeouts. He had 18 whiffs, another cool share of the Gallows Bowl. 98 pitches to get there. 11 over 47 whiffs on that four-seamer against the Orioles. And this is interesting because the changeup was only a 35% strike rate. He was generally in the right area for it, which I think did make those four-seamers that landed around it better, because okay, it might be another changeup, and then we're really passive and focused on not getting beat by the changeup, but they swung through the fastball, right? They still had some that were nice, so they were well hit into play, fine. There were curveballs that were like 50-50 in execution, and when they were executed, they were great. But it's always strange with me with Pablo Lopez, because the four-seamer is not really this precise clump pitch. It's a big overall area of like a 72% strike. We just throw this in the zone kind of thing. He really leans into the extension. It has really drop, like the same amount of drop as Corbin Burns's cutter kind of thing, like 12 to 13 IVB, which is very weird, but it's a drop pitch, and it kind of makes it easier to hit than a lot of other fastballs. It is somewhat flat, so that it's like a average to above average flat attack angle. But that IVB really doesn't help much. So it means that you can't just do it with the fastball. And generally, you're going to have the sweeper against right-handers. You're going to have the changeup against lefties. Sometimes that curve, sometimes that sinker to righties as well. A lot of lefties here. He's always just a little odd because of that to me. And I'm happy we got a really good one here. I don't think we should be expecting this kind of dominance with what we're getting right now. He's not ace is going to ace yet, because it's still like, hey, 35% strike rate on that changeup, Pablo Lopez. Cal Quantrill against the Dodgers, gets a gold star. Five innings, one earned run, five base runners, six Ks against the Dodgers. Cal Quantrill. Now, he did a good BSB, that is Blake Snell blueprint, with cutters up and splitters down. You have splitters at 5 over 24 whiffs, and you have cutters at 41% CSW. There was a time last year that Cal Quantrill worked, even though he was a part of the Rockies, because his cutter was grooving. That's not this. It's not quite enough for me to jump in on that with Cal Quantrill. So having a lovely birthday party. You have Zach Wheeler going at 39% CSW for the King Cole. His four-seamer dominated as always. And also the cutter that he's just kind of adapting and leaning into a little bit more against left-handers. 53% CSW. Oh my gosh, 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 9 strikeouts. I should have him above Paul Skenes. I'm going to do that this week. I've actually thought about this a lot, and I just realized that Zach Wheeler is just way more consistent game to game. So, yeah, Skenes, sorry, you're going to be SP3. Tarik Skubal is going to be SP1. You have Tyler Anderson and Paul Skenes going, and you have Emerson Hancock, Clark Schmidt, Michael King, many others to talk about from yesterday's games, and we're going to talk about all of them after this break. Tyler Anderson against the Jays, 6.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. His changeup's really good, and he's a solid streamer, and he gets the Orioles next, and maybe that will work. He is going to have to deal with more lefties a bit, though. Maybe they'll go a right-handed lineup against him, but that would actually feed into his changeup. So I'm curious what we get there. The Jays are not a very good team, so at least offensively at the moment, so that is part of the reason why. But we saw this last year, where Tyler Anderson actually was productive for like a good month or two. And you might just want to roll with it right now. The changeup is looking really good. You have Paul Skenes against the Cardinals. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. This is kind of what I'm getting at. You don't quite know how his precision's going to be on a given night with Paul Skenes. The stuff is obviously incredible, but there's always that little tinge of being more off than usual than, say, like Skubal and Wheeler. And that's why I'm going to be lowering him on the list. Just the three. It's just the three. Emerson Hancock against the Athletics, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. I'm happy for him. Kofax helped. It was, what is that, 16 over 18 outs by way of the ball in play. Yeah, I don't want to go with this against the Yankees. I don't think that Emerson Hancock is doing enough yet. It's better with the sinker getting closer inside to right-handers, and the changeup was all right to lefties, but we need more than that. Clark Schmidt, speaking of the Yankees, against the Padres, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. It's a step in the right direction. The cutter is doing good things. When it's cutter and curve against lefties, and then you're seeing sweeper, cutter, sinker to righties. I think there needs to be a little bit more here, but it's a step in the right direction where at least the cutter is working. Now we need to see those big curveballs and sweepers doing more for whiffs against their respective batters. You also really need to get a better mix, I think, of the sinker and the cutter against righties. Michael King was on the other side, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and just 2 strikeouts. He also threw a four-seamer down the pipe that was supposed to be upstairs to Aaron Judge. And honestly, based on how late he was on it, he didn't pull it, he pushed it to right field. It might have actually worked upstairs, but it didn't. It was down the middle, and it was a home run. And it was really annoying because he pitched really well otherwise. The changeup really did everything here. It saved him. And I say he did really well. He got through this game. It would have been, you know, fewer runs. But it's more that King did not have his best stuff here. The sinker and four-seamer command just wasn't as good. And the changeup really did everything. He didn't earn a single whiff on the 24 four-seamers after we've seen that really do well upstairs before. And he just kept going after the changeup. And the Yankees eventually obliged with their lefties getting outs against it. So that's actually the sign of an ace to me, is when you are not Mr. Perfect, as David Cohn would say, when they have the perfect conditions, it's the only way that you'll do well. When you don't have everything working, are you still able to produce and get through games? And yeah, Michael King can do that. Jake Irvin, I was really out because his velocity fell down to 90, and I'm like, this is terrible, and this is terrifying. And 0 strikeouts and 3 walks here. At 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs, though, and 4 hits. That means it's a bad whip, no strikeouts, no win. You get 2 earned runs and 5.1 innings. Not really worth it. And he is back to 92-93 at the very least. So that's good. The spot of the curveball, not as good. And the four-seamer had a 7% CSW. He's an extension guy. Sinkers and four-seamers should be getting outs, and the curveball should be cleaning up. 3 walks and 0 Ks kind of showcases to you that you need more here. Jake Irvin, he's not quite in that groove again. You get Atlanta next. I would take a back seat there. But when Jake Irvin does get that feel again and showcases that success, then I'm in. You have Tony Gonsolin against the Marlins. Another gallows pull share at 18 whiffs. He did an 82 pitches, though. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. As he should. It's the Marlins. He didn't get the win because Cal Quantrill was obnoxious. The slider was just 42% strikes, and that's actually the pitch for him. That is the one that matters the most among everything. Yes, we want the splitter going 45% CSW if we can, but really it's the slider going 65% strikes, constantly being there, getting whiffs, doing all the work. so that the four seamer isn't sat upon, and then the splitter can get all the whiffs and do whatever it wants without being a massive strike pitch. So kind of weird. I think I'm going to still go for this against the Athletics. The four seamer is 17 inches of vert and like 94, 95, which is kind of good, and not like 93. But I'm not really thinking of like Gonsolin as a top 40 guy. Get that idea of like the two ERA man from way back when out of your head. That is just not who he is. Jeffrey Springs, sunshine and rainbows, I think. Yeah, pretty much. Five innings, two and runs. 140 whip to seven base runners and four Ks. But the Mariners are good, so fine. The changeup had four over 25 whiffs, though. And the slider against right-handers had a 46% CSW, which is not normal. He didn't even get this thing down. It was just all middle location and high location. So low lock, sorry, no low lock, tons of YM lock, and tons of high lock. So 11 for 33 called strikes, and that is strange. I don't think that the four-seamer was well-spotted. And yeah, again, four over 25 whiffs with a right-hand heavy lineup. Jeffrey Springs' changeup should be better than that. Jose Ureña started, and I know, that's weird. The Jays need Jose Ureña now. They'd rather do this than call up Jake Bloss for whatever reason. Okay. 4.1 innings, 200 runs, four hits, one walk, and two strikeouts. I mean, I guess so. That was all right. Brad Lord against the Guardians got a poor quality start. Six innings, 300 runs, three hits, one walk, and just four strikeouts. It's a birthday party for the most part. 17% CSW. He's not doing anything that you should really be hanging your hat on. You have Justin Verlander against the Cubs, and the good news here is I was really scared of the velocity dip. Just like Jake Irvin, he was down two ticks in his last start, back to 95, and the slider had a 44% CSW. The thing here was the command overall just wasn't that great, and the Cubs are good. So it was five innings, 300 runs, five hits, two walks, and three Ks. I'm encouraged by Verlander. I probably am going to wait one more after the Diamondbacks, A, to make sure the velocity is still there, and B is the Diamondbacks, and you're not at the top of your game right now as far as location. Speaking of not on top of your game, Drew Rasmussen, oh boy. He got the Phillies, and he's had a really tough stretch, and it's not so bad, right? Like 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 base runners, 2 Ks. It's not a pretty looking set of ratios, absolutely, but it's not like it's a disaster game. And I'm still very much in on Rasmussen because, yeah, he does have elite stuff. The cutter's good, the four-seamer's good, the sinker's good, and he should be throwing, I think, the curveball slash sweeper, really a proper breaking ball more often. But this was a game where the four-seamer was down in velocity almost two ticks, and then almost 2 inches down of vert as well on the four-seamer. So not as effective there. I hope that dip in velocity across the board, really two ticks down, and that that vert is not really a thing of the future. I'm just considering this a small rough patch. I don't think that Drew Rasmussen is bad by any means. Also, 86 pitches is showcasing that he's still stretched out. And under five innings is very weird for him. He's very efficient as a pitcher. Normally, these cutters and fastballs are finding gloves a ton and mitigating hard contact. So I would not be out on Rasmussen. You got to hold tight there. David Peterson against the Diamondbacks. Six innings of 400 runs, five hits, four walks, and six Ks. Four-seamer was really good upstairs at 93. But there were so many curves and changeups over the plate that weren't good. The walks were frustrating, but he threw a lot of strikes. And if you actually didn't know this, I was working with, if you have Peel Pro and you utilize our, honestly, I mean, there are two things I think with Peel Pro that are just must-haves, right? It's my Sin Start grid for 2 weeks that you get my rankings, or at least my tiers for all guys for the next 2 weeks for pitchers, so you can really plan out your weeks, 2 weeks ahead. We extended it to 14 days now, so you can really get ahead for next week before everyone else. You can also do that for streamers for your Sunday fab and everything like that. It's amazing. It's just a sit and start grid that I have, and I update that every single morning. The second thing, of course, is our live pitch app. And this live pitch app, we actually made some updates on the fly. I was working with Kyle Bland as I tried to get out this roundup. But we made a lot of changes to it. I'm going to show you guys really quickly on the live podcast now the things that have changed. And I want to show you with David Peterson why you should not be so worried about him. So as you can see, guys, that you have a new look for the selections. We also have a total row that we've added as well. And we are working on making just some colors and some other things really different, but we have a much better way of selecting your games and your pitchers. So I'm going to go to the Mets, and this is live data, by the way. This is live Statcast data as it comes in. So you don't have to wait till the next morning, anything like that. You can quickly analyze your pitchers. And you can see with David Peterson, 67%, 66% strike rate overall on all of his pitches, which is phenomenal. You can also see X damage, which is your 3D spray angle of Savant's X Wobegon. So we add in 3D spray angle, we're calling it expected damage, just to make it a smaller name. It has a tooltip, of course, as well. But you can visualize all this stuff incredibly easily, really fast now. And of course, you have your strike zone plot as well. So this is what you get with PL Pro. I highly recommend everybody use this. If you have PL Pro, we just made these adjustments. We're going to be making even more in the future as well. But as you can see with David Peterson, strike rate, still really good. Four walks, kind of showcases, yeah, he just lost some batters, all that kind of stuff. You should be happy with David Peterson. I think the extension with multiple whiff pitches is what should make you excited about Peterson moving forward. And really, it's just about these moments that he has to iron out and figure out, how do I get through these at-bats and not walk these batters, essentially. So I'm excited about David Peterson for the Pirates. You have Colin Ray, who, you know, someone on Reddit called this out, and he's right to do so. I said inside of the list notes that Ray has been, his success is more a product of the matchups he's had. But that's totally wrong. He's actually had a tough schedule, say, for one game. And the Giants were the easier one. And he went 5 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. So I went in and I really dug more into Colin Ray. And I was like, oh, he's kind of getting lucky and also has been more precise than usual to get through those games. It's likely not going to last. And this is kind of that. This was, you know, he needs Koufax helping him out for that BABIP. And he also needs some a little bit better command. The four seamer is not nearly enough. It has some extra velocity, but it's not good still. He does get the Marlins, so fine, Colin Ray, sure. But yeah, he's not your savior, guys. This is really should just be a streamer, Colin Ray. Hayden Wesneski against the Brewers, 4 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts, just 3 whiffs, 30% CSW. The sweeper's really good to righties, but he's throwing nearly 40% four seamers to lefties. And I'm going to tell you right now, no, that's not a good game plan because it is not a good four-seamer. Even though he has a fair amount of extension, it's not enough to mask a just bad pitch. And the cutter had just 36% strikes. So that to me is just a showcase of like, this is what you need to fix. The changeup did have some called strikes, 7 over 13, that's fine. But you got to figure out this game plan. Maybe it's just going cutter and changeup heavy and then surprising the four-seamer to lefties. And then you can pretty much just go sinker and sweeper against righties. I mean, that's generally the rule of sinker-sweeper guys, right? You just go those two against right-handers, figure something out against lefties. Wesneski, unless he gets back to 7.1 extension, I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle against lefties with that approach. You have Cade Povich against the Twins, 6 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. So at least he got a 1 whip. But yeah, I talked to Povich last week. I mean, as I've mentioned many a time, if you haven't done it yet, you should. I was banging the drum banging the table, whatever you want, on him throwing the cutter inside to righties. We didn't see that. Maybe he gets there, maybe not. The curve, I will say, was actually more reliable than usual. And the four-seamer was up. The changeup and the sweeper were not good. They were very, very hittable, only an 8% CSW, and a few strikes on the changeup, and the sweeper was just not really helpful. So I think he needs a little bit more time just kind of figure out his exact approach and getting more of that pitch separation and avoiding the heart of the plate. It's going to take some time. I'm not trusting Povich quite as a Toby. I think in 15-teamers, you might have to take the chance, but 12-teamers, I really don't think you need to do this. Luis L. Ortiz against the Nationals, 5.1 innings of 5 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. We cannot trust the command to improve enough. The changeup had just 44% strikes and was getting crushed when it actually landed in the zone. The four-seamer was actually upstairs a decent amount, and the slider was really legit to right-handers, but it's just everything else was just not good outside of that four-seamer and slider. If Luis L. Ortiz just went four-seamers and sliders for a game, I'm actually really curious if that would work. But then again, that would mean that he would be consistent in his performance of a single pitch type game to game, which is just not what we get. And last but not least is Lucas Giolito. Very disappointing one. There are two things I want to mention. One, Josh Mockenstern mentioned later that Lucas Giolito, after this 3.2 inning, 6 earned run, 10 hits, 1 walk and 2 Ks, was slipping off of the mound, and I didn't catch that, and I should have, and that's on me. And that would make sense that he might have been more careful and just focused on that, which might be why the velocity was down to 91.6. At the same time, it is typical for guys coming back and having their debut to have adrenaline and to be throwing harder than what we should expect. I didn't apply that for Giolito. I probably should have. My reasoning was we saw actually 91, 92 early in that start, and then he pushed it up to 93, 94 as it went on. And usually we see that adrenaline first and not later. And then it didn't really fall down to 91, 92 as the start went on. It was pretty much just like, yeah, he's at 93. And he was at 94 earlier on. And he actually even hit 96 in that one. So I felt that Giolito was going to be around 93 moving forward. And he was down to 91.6. So it could be that he was slipping on the mound. It makes more sense that the adrenaline was there and it was gone here. And the other issue is, well, yeah, the four-seamer and changeup command wasn't good. Also, no breaking ball. Like, one slider, one curve. He doesn't have a third pitch. Part of my expectations was growth in this. At the very least, just having a decent slider. I'm curious what we're going to get. I'm absolutely still in against the Royals. I do want to see, like, okay, hold on a second. This velocity drop, fine. But, like, it's 1.5. It's not like it's three ticks down. And also, yeah, him slipping on the mound is an important element to it as well. So I know this is incredibly disappointing. I know, trust me, I feel like a dunce in many ways. And we're just trying to find something to save our teams a little bit right now. And we thought it might be Giolito a bit. It's not, it looks like, but it still could be. And that's incredibly disheartening and frustrating. So I understand your pain there. But please stick with Giolito. I think there's something legit here. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. We're so close to 10,000 subs on YouTube. So if you're watching right now on YouTube, as you should, as I displayed the PL Pro live stats app that you guys should all be using, go subscribe. We're almost at 10,000 subs, so please help us get there. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.